Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, April the 30th, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study of your word today. We're grateful for all that you've shown us in the past, and we look forward to that which you have for us. We ask that you would give us the strength and the determination to absorb that which you have, and to allow it to be a leading factor in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our subject today will be consecration. Consecration. And of course, we continue to take a look at the book, The Bible Readings of the Home Circle, as we said before, published in 1889. The subject for today, consecration. First question. What offering did King Hezekiah command to be made when he reestablished the worship of the temple? 2 Chronicles 29 and verse 27 says, "And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel." After the people had united in this service, how did Hezekiah interpret its meaning? 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 31 says, "Then Hezekiah answered and said, Now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a free heart burnt offerings." Notice that the morning and the evening burnt offering, or the continual offering, symbolize the daily consecration of the people to the Lord. Question. How is this consecration urged upon all Christians? Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." What is the continual sacrifice of praise declared to be? Hebrews 13 and verse 15 says, "Through him then let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of lips which make confession to his name." Question. How is the service of consecration to be carried forward by the Christian church? 1 Peter 2 and verse 5 says, "Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, an house of holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." So how is the sacrifice of consecration to be carried forward by the Christian church? We are, as living stones, built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And of course, that is 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. Question. Who has set the example of complete consecration? Matthew 20 verses 27 and 28 says, "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Of course, that's Matthew, as I said, chapter 20, verses 27 and 28. Question. What position has Jesus taken among his brethren? Luke 22 and verse 27 says, "For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. In what does likeness to Christ consist? Philemon chapter 2 and verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What did Christ's spirit of meekness and consecration lead him to do? Verse 7 says, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Further, to what extent did Christ humble himself? Verse 8 says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. How does he exhort us to the same consecration? Matthew 11 and verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Question. What does he make the condition of discipleship? Luke 14 and verse 33 gives the answer. It says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. So we must indeed be willing to forsake all that we have in order to be his disciple. Question. What is proof that one does not belong to Christ? Romans 8 and verse 9 says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. How should he walk who professes to abide in Christ? 1 John 2 and verse 6 says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself ought so to walk, even as he, Christ, walked. Do we belong to ourselves? 1 Corinthians 6 verses 19 and 20 says, know ye not that ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. What are we therefore exhorted to do? The same text, 1 Corinthians 6 verses 19 and 20, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Notice our time, our strength, and means are God's and should be given to his service. Question. Of what are the bodies of Christians the temple? Verse 19 says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? And of course, we are dealing with 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Question. When truly consecrated, for what is one ready? Isaiah 6 and verse 8 says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who shall go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. How is this willingness for service otherwise expressed? Psalm 123 and verse 2 says, behold, as the eyes of the servant look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God. Review and Herald, February the 16th, 1886. Beginning at paragraph 1 says this. The disciples of Christ are his representatives upon the earth, and God designs that they shall be lights in the moral darkness of this world, dotted all over the country in the towns, villages, and cities, a spectacle unto the world, to angels, and to men. If they obey the teachings of the Christ in his Sermon on the Mount, They will be seeking continually for perfection of Christian character and will be truly the light of the world, channels through which God will communicate His divine will, the truth of heavenly origin, to those who sit in darkness and who have no knowledge of the way of life and salvation. God cannot display the knowledge of His will and the wonders of His grace among the unbelieving world unless He has witnesses scattered all over the earth. This is God's plan, that men and women who are partakers of this great salvation through Jesus Christ should be His missionaries, bodies of light throughout the world, to be as signs to the people, living epistles, known and read of all men, their faith and their works testifying to the near approach of the coming Savior, and that they have not received the grace of God in vain. The people must be warned to prepare for the coming judgment. To those who have been listening only to fables, God will give an opportunity to hear the sure word of prophecy, whereunto they will do well that they take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. God will present the sure word of truth to the understanding of all who will take heed, that they may contrast truth with the fables which have been presented to them by men who claim to understand the word of God and profess to be qualified to instruct these who are in darkness. Every follower of Jesus has his or her work to do as a missionary of Christ, in their families, in their neighborhoods, and in the towns and cities where they live. If they are consecrated to God, they are channels of light. God makes them instruments of righteousness to communicate the light of truth, the riches of His grace to others. Unbelievers may appear indifferent and careless, yet God is impressing and convicting their hearts that there is a reality in the truth. But when men leave the field, give up the contest, and allow the cause of God to languish before God says, let them alone, they will only be burdens to any church where they may move. Let me read that again for you. Unbelievers may appear indifferent and careless, yet God is impressing and convicting their hearts that there is a reality in the truth. But, listen to this now, when men leave the field, give up the contest, and allow the cause of God to languish before God says, let them alone, they will only be a burden to any church where they may move. Those they have left, who were convicted, have frequently quieted their consciences with thinking that, after all, they were needlessly anxious. They decide that there is no reality in the profession made by Seventh-day Adventists. That is found in Review and Herald, February the 16th, 1886, in paragraph 3, and I sincerely hope that you will note that down and read it for yourself, as I am going to read it for you again. Unbelievers may appear indifferent and careless, yet God is impressing and convicting their hearts that there is a reality in the truth. In other words, you're sharing, but they don't seem to be listening. But the Holy Spirit is speaking to them. And then comes the big part here. But when men leave the field, because, of course, you think people are not listening, give up the contest and allow the cause of God to languish before God says, let them alone. They will only be a burden to any church where they may move. Those they have left who were convicted have frequently quieted their consciences with thinking that, after all, they were needlessly anxious. They decided that there is no reality in the profession made by Seventh-day Adventists. Satan triumphs to see the vine of God's planting either entirely uprooted or left to languish. It is not the purpose of God that his people should cluster together and concentrate their influence in a special locality. God designs that the people should be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. The plan of gathering together in large numbers to compose a large church has contracted their influence and narrowed their sphere of usefulness and is literally putting their light under a bushel. Wow. It is God's design that the knowledge of the truth should come to all, that none may be left ignorant of its principles and so remain in darkness, and that everyone should be tested upon it and decide for or against it, that all may be warned and left without cause or excuse. The plan of colonizing or moving from different localities where there is but little strength or influence, and concentrating the influence of many in one locality, removing the light away from place where God would have it shine, is not according to his will. The followers of Jesus Christ, scattered throughout the world, do not have a high sense of their responsibility and the obligation resting upon them to let their light shine forth to others. If there are but one or two in a place, they can, although few in number, so conduct themselves before the world as to have an influence which will impress the unbeliever with the sincerity of their faith. The followers of Jesus are not meeting the mind and will of God if they are content to remain in ignorance of his word. All should become Bible students. Christ commanded his followers, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Peter exhorts us, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." Many who profess to believe the truth for these last days will be found wanting. They have neglected the weightier matters. Their conversion is superficial, not deep, earnest, and thorough. They do not know why they believe the truth, because others have done so, and they take it for granted it must be so. They can give no intelligent reason why they believe. Many have allowed their minds to be filled with things of minor importance, and their eternal interest is made secondary. Their own souls are dwarfed and crippled in spiritual growth. Others are not enlightened or edified by their experience and the knowledge it was their privilege and duty to obtain. Strength and stability lie with true-hearted professors. Christ and him crucified should become the theme of our thoughts and stir the deepest emotions of our souls. The true followers of Christ will appreciate the great salvation he has wrought for them, and wherever he leads the way, they will follow. They will consider it a privilege to bear whatever burdens Christ may lay upon them. It is through the cross alone that we can estimate the worth of the human soul. Such is the value of men for whom Christ died, that the Father is satisfied with the infinite price which he pays for the salvation of man in yielding up his own Son to die for their redemption. What wisdom and mercy and love in its fullness are here manifested! The worth of man is only known by going to Calvary. In the mystery of the cross of Christ, we can place an estimate upon man. What a responsible position to unite with the Redeemer of the world in the salvation of men. This work calls for self-denial, sacrifice, and benevolence, for perseverance, courage, and faith. why there are so little results seen in those who minister in word and doctrine is they have not the fruit of the grace of God in their own hearts and lives. They have not faith. Many who profess to be ministers of Jesus Christ manifest a wonderful submission in seeing the unconverted all around them going to perdition. A minister of Christ has no right to be at ease and to sit down submissively to the fact that the truth is powerless and souls are not stirred by its presentation. They should resort to prayer and should work and pray without ceasing. Those who submit to remain destitute of spiritual blessings without an earnest wrestling for those blessings consent to have Satan's triumph. Persistent, prevailing faith is necessary. God's ministers must come into closer companionship with Christ and follow his example in all things, in purity of life, in self-denial, in benevolence, in diligence, in perseverance. They should remember that a record will one day appear in evidence against them for the least omission of duty. In order for laborers to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the truth, they must have a varied experience which will be best acquired in extended labor in new fields, in different localities, coming in contact with all classes of people and with all varieties of minds, calling into exercise various kinds of labor to meet the wants of many and varied minds. This drives the true laborer of God to God and the Bible for light and strength and knowledge in order to be fully qualified to meet the wants of the people. They should heed the exhortation given to Timothy. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Wisdom is needed to discern the most appropriately subjective thing of the occasion. Paul exhorted Timothy, be thou an example to the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine continued in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. What a powerful call we receive today to turn our hearts over to the Lord and allow ourselves to be led by him, to study and to share the truth and not be afraid to witness to those who are around us. Will you do that today? We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the call that you make. So frequently you do this. We ask, Lord, that you would forgive us for the time that we have wasted. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to recommit ourselves to your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again today, we must thank you for your consistency in listening to the broadcast each and every day. We're grateful that God has drawn us together that we can study. And we'd like to make an appeal to you that you make a contribution to this ministry so that we might be able to finance our continued service in this area. God bless you and thank you. This has been Morning Manna, April the 30th, 2021.